It's time for a pause in your day. Welcome to a podcast where we press the pause button on our busy lives for a few moments, and we focus on God's Word with Sharon and Nicole. We pray this is a time of refreshing for you. The Sweet Selah Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Selah Ministries.
Welcome to Sweet Selah Moments. We're celebrating 10 seasons of sharing God's Word with you, and this season is our Selah season. This is episode 145, Trying to Be Good. This is an intriguing title. Sometimes forcing oneself to be good seems to take a tremendous amount of effort. We're going to learn from David in Psalm 39 today how to be good without the stress, or at least with less stress. But first, because this is our Selah season, we're going to talk about our Selah word for the day, the tip we have to help us all practice pausing and simply being with the God who loves us. So far, we've talked about silence, going slow, solitude, and Selah days. Sharon, what's next?
Today's word is sleep. I love sleep. And sleep is essential to good health and life itself. If someone is deprived of sleep too long, they literally lose their mind and hallucinate. Ugh. Our bodies have to sleep in order to function and repair themselves. Good sleep is so critical to mental well-being. So, I had a season in my life when I couldn't sleep, and I can underline all of this so much. Mm. When I was in my early 40s, I had a period of insomnia that really took me under. It was awful. I was doing a lot, but that's typical of me. I always do a lot. Mm-hmm. And I never had insomnia before.
Right.
But it was like I had a little chihuahua in my brain going yip, 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 yip all the time. And I'd lay down to sleep, literally exhausted. It wouldn't let me rest.
Mm.
I would lay wide awake. I would try all these different things. Nothing seemed to work. I was lucky to get 2 to 3 hours of sleep a night.
Oh, that's awful.
And then I'd get up and I'd have my busy day again and do it again. Well, it got to the point where I had to go to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I'm a witness to. Mentally, I was losing it because I had so many nights in a row without good sleep. And so, ironically, I get to the emergency room and I fall asleep.
Oh,
they're like, wait, 2 seconds of being there. So anyways, they sent me home for that little bit, but then I went to see my doctor and, Ray and my doctor both made me take pills for 2 weeks of Ambien that made me go to sleep. Yeah. Yeah. So for 2 weeks, I, you know, took my little pill in bed because they worked really well for me.
Oh,
I was
good.
Asleep right away, and slept all night, but only for 2 weeks. The doctor said, you don't want this as a habit, but you have to reset your time cycle. I mean, my sleep cycle was so out of whack. It was awful. So after that, I learned some techniques that helped me. I learned that I couldn't work right up till bedtime. Mm. I couldn't have screen time till bedtime.
Right.
I needed to, tell my body it was time to sleep. And that is why wherever Sharon goes in the world, she needs milk.
And I've seen it.
You've seen it.
When I travel with you, your little milk is supplied and it's just so cute.
I have to have it. So people recommended to me wine or warm milk. And there was no way I was going to have wine before bed every night.
Oh.
And so I chose warmed milk. And so I have warm milk and a cookie. Every night,
so
I read
nice.
A physical book, turning pages for 45 minutes before bed. And now, I mean, this happened in my 40s. I'm in my 60s. Mm. So we're talking decades later.
Yeah.
It's a signal. And my body knows it, just like a little baby with a full tummy.
Yes.
I am out and I sleep all night. And I have so much more energy.
Oh, that's so nice.
So anyways, sleep is essential.
It's
it
so
is
important.
Absolutely essential. And for those of you that could tolerate warm milk.
Give it a go.
I highly recommend it. But, you know, chamomile tea would do the same thing if you were more of a chamomile type.
Yes.
Right. So how about you? I mean, you're a mama. You have babies more recently than I've had babies. Talk to me about sleep.
Yeah. I remember reading an article saying that sleep deprivation is almost is as bad as drunk driving.
See?
So I remember it kind of scaring me as I was thinking I slept 2 hours last night after nursing a baby and being up with a kiddo with an ear infection. And all my kiddos are a little bit older now. So my youngest is 10. So they're all sleeping through the night. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So all you young mamas out there, I promise it won't last forever. Nap when you can, mamas. But where I'm at the season now where my children are sleeping more, I didn't realize that, especially my teenagers, their brains kind of reset in, I think, around sixth grade, which is around 11 and 12. And they actually need more sleep than they were getting.
No kidding.
Before. Yeah. It's almost like they've reverted back to like that toddler stage because they're growing so much and all those new hormones. And yes. Their brains are changing.
Yes.
So they do, in fact, need more sleep. Uh-huh. So I know for my children, I have tried to make sure they're still going. My older one is, oh, I can stay up later now. I'm like, actually, you still need to go to bed at the same time as your 10-year-old sister because you need sleep. And yeah. They're so grumpy when they don't get sleep. Now, talking about me, I'm also very grumpy without sleep. So yes, as a mama, leading by example, we've also tried to start going to bed earlier, my husband and I. So we don't watch TV at night anymore. We'll go up to our rooms around like 8 o'clock. Josh will shower if that helps him get ready for bed. I will read a physical book. My phone turns off automatically now. I do chamomile and mint tea before bed.
A wonderful choice.
But we've just noticed now that it's so important to get sleep in.
It is.
It's, we need it or we get a little crazy.
Yeah. God might have created sleep because he knew that's what our bodies needed. Yeah. And when we push that too long and too hard, we're actually rebelling against the way he made us and wired us.
Well, we don't work well. Like if I'm up with puppies when they're first born, again, it can't be helped. I am a mess the next day and my life is a mess. Everything feels like it's a mess because I'm tired.
Yep. Exactly.
My perspective is off.
So there's our Sila word. And it doesn't sound super spiritual, but it is because God made us.
Yes.
And God
cares about our bodies. Right.
Exactly. All right. Okay. So now we're going to turn to puzzling out a psalm that employs our word Sila. Mm. David has written it, and David in this psalm is not doing well.
Oh, poor guy.
He's actually having a hard time being good. So, Nicole, there are some days when I also do not want to be good. Mm. I want to be selfish. I want to demand my own way. It's very tempting. Yet, if I give in to the temptation and say a harsh word or refuse to do something that I ought to do, it never ends well.
No.
How about you?
I do not know of what you speak. No. Sadly, yes. I know all too well how that feels. It's funny. You would think you'd kind of grow out of it. I'm thinking with four kids, it would work that selfishness out of me. But alas, here I am, still very selfish some days.
Yes, yes.
And when I give in, it just doesn't work.
No.
It never feels good. No. I always feel miserable. Yes. God's ways are much better.
They are so much better. Words spoken in anger are just never helpful.
Never. If I lose my temper and holler at the kids to get something done, they still don't do it any better. And then everyone's just grumpy.
They might do it worse.
And then a dish gets broken because everyone's grumpy. It doesn't work.
It does not. So, all right. Well, here we go. Our psalm with the word Sila in it is another one written by David. I already said that. Let's look at David's dilemma and unpack it, stopping at each Sila. So, Nicole, you're going to read first again today and then ponder the Sila.
Sounds good. Psalm 39 for Jeduthun, the choir director, a psalm of David. I said to myself, I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. But as I stood there in silence, not even speaking of good things, the turmoil within me grew worse. The more I thought about it, the hotter I got, igniting a fire of words. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. Sila.
Wow.
It's an interesting one. I know the beginning of this, of standing in silence and letting turmoil grow in you and the words building up, it just reminds me of my sweet little Clara, my little 10-year-old who has so many words. And if we ask her to wait her turn to tell her story, you just see her just like filling up with words and angst, ready to explode like in a little overfilled balloon. So
that's so cute.
So I feel this. But this is so interesting. This also reminds me of me when I'm angry and those words kind of fester and build up, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Those unsaid words. Like we try not to say, as David did in the psalm, we try not to say the things we don't want to say around the ungodly, but we can't. we're unable to hold in the bad on our own. We just can't.
Right. Yeah.
And I love this. Like, what a mindset shift halfway through. It's like he's kind of asking, like, is it worth it? You know, as he's talking about, Lord, remind me of how brief our time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered. All of this striving to be good and trying so hard to do what I think is best. Like, wait a minute. Is this worth it, God? Is this what you have for me? So there's a good kind of, he kind of stopped looking at himself and trying to do things on his own and then looked to God and said, oh yeah, my days are numbered. So
show me how to live wisely.
Right.
Exactly. And you know, the more he thinks, the hotter he gets, the fire of words that spews out. You know, okay, is that what I want either though? Because then, I only have so many days with this person and I don't want to fill them with anger. So how do you be good?
Yeah.
And yet, not spew forth angry words. So it's an interesting dilemma. And I like that we're going to consider it. Mm-hmm. All right. So David continues to consider in my section. He says, we are merely moving shadows and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. Mm. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? Mm. My only hope is in you. Rescue me from my rebellion. Do not let fools mock me. I am silent before you. I won't say a word, for my punishment is from you. But please stop striking me. I am exhausted by the blows from your hand. When you discipline us for our sins, you consume like a moth what is precious to us. Each of us is but a breath. Selah. All right, so there's a ton in this. It starts with, we've got to stop thinking we're so important. Yeah. You know, we are all our busyness actually big fat hairy deal if you're a little bit faster in the car or not, right?
Right.
We heap up wealth, we want all this money. Why? I mean, we could die tomorrow.
Right.
You know, and who knows who's gonna spend it. So when we stopped our podcast for 6 months, the world didn't stop spinning. It was amazing.
Imagine that.
I know. It just kept going. So we have to go back to permanence. What is permanent? Mm-hmm. And David says that in verse 7. My only hope is in you. Mm. It's not in wealth. It's not in proving how good I am by how busy I am.
Right.
Because we can do that. We can define ourselves by productivity.
Yes.
And then when you get sick, like we both have been sick times in our lives, you feel useless because you've defined yourself by what I do.
Right.
Instead of I'm his and I'm just as loved, laying on my back, unable to do anything.
Right.
Now, self-importance is wrong. Mm. We are important because God loves us, not because we're busy and we're doing stuff. So then there's that. So David has a lot of troubles coming in at the end and he says, you stop striking me. And I think that's interesting, but I think we often think that if God is able to stop trouble and he doesn't, well, then
he must be
causing it, right?
Right.
And there's so many ways to look at this, but trouble happens to people that love God and trouble happens to people that don't.
Right.
People have their houses destroyed in fire that know God and don't.
Right.
People are shot randomly in churches and in bars.
Right.
So trouble's going to come. And yes, God allowed it. So in that sense, he's letting something strike us.
Right.
And David's at the point where he's like, stop. This is too much.
Yeah.
Don't. I'm trying to behave myself here and I'm still getting hit. And then he wants us to stop and think about that for a bit. So there's our Selah. I'm glad this isn't the end of the psalm.
I know.
You get to finish it out.
I do. I get the little bit happier part. So he continues, hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cries for help. Don't ignore my tears. For I am your guest, a traveler passing through, as my ancestors were before me. Leave me alone so I can smile again before I am gone and exist no more. So I feel by the end of the psalm, he's very humble and he's very broken by all that's going on.
Yeah.
So then he acknowledges the Lord and his sovereignty. He asks for help and he kind of puts himself at God's mercy. For I am your guest, a traveler passing through as my ancestors were. Because I think when in the ancient times, the Israelites, if they had people coming through, if you're traveling, you don't have many inns or hotels or whatever. Right. You can't carry a lot. You don't have a car.
Yeah.
So they would be reliant upon the hospitality of people that they met along the way. Uh-huh. So if you had a traveler come in, you'd take them into your home, you'd feed them, you'd take care of them, send them on their way.
Uh-huh.
But you're kind of in a very vulnerable position as a traveler. You have to trust that that person's a good person and is going to provide for your needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's kind of comparing that, that he's in that place of, I really can't provide for myself, God. Like, I'm at your mercy. Like my ancestors were, like, please help me.
Yes.
So that's a good place to be when we acknowledge we're not all that in a bag of chips, as you say. And we need God's help.
Yes, we do. So desperately. Yes, we do. So, yeah. So he's in a time of trouble that won't let up.
Yes.
And that happens sometimes. You get hit and you're like, all right, well, I've survived that. And then you get hit again and you're like, right, digging deep. Right. I'll survive that.
Some more to be refined. And then the next wave comes, you're like, seriously?
Yeah. And then you're kind of done. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel that.
So, but what I like about the psalm is that every bit of it comes to God.
Mm.
And I think this is what is so valuable about reading the Psalms. David is a little bit upset with God at this point, right?
Yeah.
Would you leave me alone? Because he's seeing the troubles as directly from God. I kind of see them a little differently. I kind of see them as God's allowed it.
Right.
So in that sense, it's direct, right? He could have stopped him.
Yeah.
And he didn't. So he's a little ticked off. And yet you're right. He's humbled by the end. I'm just me. Help me.
Right.
And I think instead of trying to muscle through it at the beginning, I'm stuffing down my words.
Yes.
Right. He's letting out the words. He's saying, I don't get this. I am at the end of myself. If you send one more trouble my way, I can't. I just can't. Right. I think that's being good.
Mm.
You know, when we're struggling to put on a veneer,
mm-hmm.
that's not being good.
Right.
It's when you say, all right, I can't do anything right now. Mm-hmm. I can't feel productive about life. I can't feel like I know what the future's going to hold. I am just this mess.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm your mess.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. And I know that you will comfort me. And I know that you have some purpose in this, even if I have no clue what it is at the moment. And we just have to receive it from his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's very honest through all of this. I mean, even that last verse, leave me alone so I can smile again before I'm gone and exist no more. He's at the lowest of the low point.
Like yes, he is.
And I said, it's kind of a funny thing to ask God, like, leave me alone so I can smile again.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever come to that point. But if, like you said, he's being honest with God. And at this point, he's viewing it as coming from God. So he's being incredibly honest here,
yeah.
even to the point of asking God to leave him alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I appreciate that honesty that he shows.
Yeah.
He isn't putting on a veneer. Even if he's wrong and kind of directing that toward God, he's still telling him. Because God knows his heart. He knows our hearts.
He does.
So for us to pretend like, well, I'm not really mad at God. But, if you could take this away, that'd be great. He's flat out telling him, leave me alone. I want to smile. I'm dying. I can't take it anymore. And
exactly.
That's so beautiful.
Yes.
Because in that, you see, he still acknowledges that the Lord is his hope. He's
yes.
still talking to God. He's
yes.
still coming to him
yes.
and feels safe enough to pour out all the messy, broken pieces of himself before
exactly
God.
Exactly so. And that is goodness.
Yeah.
Being real.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I was talking to a dear friend on the phone the other day, and she had just lost her husband of 45 years.
Oh.
She's miserable.
Oh, yeah.
And she didn't need to be cheered up.
Yeah.
And I said, just keep crying. I'll talk. And when you can stumble out a few words, go ahead.
Yeah.
Don't stop crying.
Yeah.
Please don't stop crying. You need to get those tears out. You need to say, I'm sorry, but 45 years wasn't long enough.
Right.
Which is what she told me. She said, no offense, but that was not enough.
Mm.
You know? And of course it wasn't enough.
Right.
I mean, my parents are still living. They're 90 and 91. And when one of them dies, the other one's going to say it wasn't long enough.
Yeah.
It never is.
Yeah.
Right. So, I think sometimes, we are made to feel uncomfortable by our grief by other people.
Right.
I know my sister, when she lost her husband, shared that she spent an awful lot of time trying to make other people feel better so that they didn't feel bad about her feeling bad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when you're in the hospital, that can happen. People come and you like try to cheer them up, even though they're there to see you. And you're like, what am I doing? I'm the sick one here. Right?
Yeah.
And I think we need to make more room for, to sit with people in grief and not make them feel like you're making them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, no.
Does that make sense?
Well, it leaves, again, it's that room for honesty. And I think the goodness comes from honesty, because the opposite of honesty is lying.
Yes.
And if we're honest, like if we're, oh no, it's fine, or we put on a front, or if David was like, well, Lord, this isn't my favorite, but I'll do it. He would be lying.
Right.
And we shouldn't lie.
No.
So giving space to our loved ones to be honest and then not make them feel uncomfortable for that.
Right.
But just sitting like, I know this is awful. Like, I'm so sorry. This is so awful. I'm just going to sit here with you.
Exactly.
That's a gift.
Right. Eventually you'll see the purpose. We're not going to talk about that yet. Right. Can we just sit in the blah for a bit?
Right.
You know?
Just stay there.
We are to weep with those who weep.
Yeah.
And sometimes we would like them to hurry up because it does make us feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And get to the happy part.
Mm.
But I think that the Psalms teach us that we have to get out the real feelings first.
Yeah.
And when we do, and I found this to be so true, when I get out my real feelings with God, that's when the peace does come.
Yeah.
That's actually when I can sound like this wonder Christian with platitudes, you know, because I've first gone to the stuffing part of words and unstuffed them.
Right.
And said them.
Yeah.
And they needed to be said. Yeah.
You had mentioned your word of the year earlier, and mine for the year is stay. God is teaching me to stay in the yuck, because I am not a person to stay in the yuck. I want to get to the hope and the good. But when I do that, I shortchange the process that God is working out in me, because there is refinement in sorrow and in pain.
Yes.
There's something to be learned in that, in sitting before God and saying, this is the worst. I have nothing. There's nothing left of me. I cannot fake this, God. Like, what are you doing inside of me?
Yeah.
And there's something so beautiful. I think as he digs out the sin and the yucky parts of us, the well is deeper for joy.
It is.
There's more space for it now. Yes. Because like I said, you can't enjoy the sun until you've sat in like the dreary cold rain for a long time.
That's a good point. Yes. Yes. And you certainly can't sit with another in pain unless you felt that pain. Right. Maybe not the exact same kind of pain, but felt the pain.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think there's a lot to be learned here. David was called a man after God's own heart.
Mm.
Why? Not because he was any great shakes.
Right.
I mean, we know all
his
sins.
Studied him.
Good gravy, this guy.
Not of his own merit. Can we say he was a good guy? Yeah.
Yeah. So if you wanted a pillar of virtue, you would not look to the guy that had way too many wives, ignored his kids. You know, we could go on and on. Why was he a man after God's own heart with this messed upness? Well, because he acknowledged it, and because he still kept coming back to God.
Yeah.
And he still kept getting cleansed and forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And he still kept loving and praising.
Mm.
And it's so beautiful, Nicole, because it says, for God saying to me, I'm not looking for perfection. You'll never do that on your own.
Yeah.
The trying to be good is going to result in failure every time.
Yeah.
You were born with sin, and all have sinned. What is going to bring me joy is living transparently.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So anyways, that's
good.
That. Okay, time for questions.
All right.
All right. So I'll start with the first one for me, and then you can go. Then it can be you. What did we learn about trying to be good from this passage, and how can we apply it? Well, we kind of already talked about that, but I wrote, David tried to tough it out and be quiet, but it was actually better for him to express it.
Yes.
And I need to remember that I don't need to tough it out. I can say, quite frankly, this stinks.
Yeah.
And I'm really unhappy about it. I know God is there and I know he's good, but at the moment I have no smile.
Mm.
And, you know, and that is okay to say.
Yep. Absolutely. Yes. Kind of the same thing. We can't do it on our own strength. You know, back to verses 2 and 3 again. He tried to not speak the things and they just built up inside of him, and it doesn't work. We can't just on our own fake it till we make it.
No.
Not all the time.
No. And the freedom and the lack of stress comes when we acknowledge that there are going to be days when the smile is hard to find.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I put to remember how short our lives are. You know, remember God is big. He sees this, you know, he sees the never ending, the big picture and how we should live. So, you know, we shouldn't have hope in our own efforts, that it's in Christ alone that we can get through all of this.
That
we can,
is true.
We can trust him in that and how to be good.
Yeah, that's right. David zoomed out, didn't he? And said, wait a second, all this stuff I'm going through, life is brief.
Yeah. The breadth of my hand. I have a little hand. So it's a short life. Yeah. So God is, his life is so much bigger than ours. So he's going to understand the bigger picture.
Right.
So we can trust that.
I like that.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why that part was in the Psalm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So you go first this time. What was your favorite verse and why?
I liked verse 12. Here we go. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cries for help. Do not ignore my tears, for I am a guest, a traveler passing through, as my ancestors were before me. So I just love that he looks to God. In all of this honesty and all of this despair, he still turns his eyes toward God. He doesn't turn his back on him.
Mm-hmm.
He tells him all the things, and he's very honest. And then again, I talked about the you know, people traveling. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful attitude to have with God, this humble, I have nothing. I'm relying upon you for these things. So here I am as I am. I just really like that.
Yep. It's beautiful. Yeah. And I chose verse 4. So back when I wrote this, I had remembered that life was brief because look, this is the one I chose. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be.
Mm.
Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. I think that in the light of eternity, pain lessons when you realize that we live for such a short time here and we live forever somewhere where there won't be pain.
Yeah.
So
it does help with it for sure.
Right. Okay. Last question, Nicole. What did you learn about God from this passage?
We can be honest with him. He didn't crispy up and zap David with lightning. We can hope in him and that he rescues us from our rebellion. Even if we're having a little pity party and being grumpy, he rescues us from all of that.
He does.
So I appreciate how gentle he is with us to listen to our, not so nice words. Yep.
I wrote, I learned that God allows hard things to happen. Sometimes way too many in a row.
Yes.
In our human opinion.
Yes. In our very humble opinion.
And it makes me, refer back to in my mind to where Jesus tells his disciples right before the cross, in this world, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
But take heart, I've overcome the world.
Mm.
And it doesn't say you might have trouble in this world. It doesn't say, hope you don't. It says, nope, you will.
Or if you do it wrong, you'll have trouble.
Yeah.
None of that. You will have trouble.
In this world,
period.
You'll have trouble.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. And the only choice we have is, do we want to do it with him or without him?
Yes.
But there will be trouble.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, and then basically our only hope is him. So to try to do it without him is just a recipe for absolute disaster.
Very bleak.
It really is. Yeah. So if, you listener have been hit and hit and hit again and would like to be left alone so you could smile again, read this psalm a few times and be comforted that God let that in the Bible. Because he knows sometimes you're going to feel that way. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the Psalms that show us the depth and breadth of emotion that you allow us to feel and express to you. Thank you, Lord, that being good isn't looking good. It's being real. Father, help us when we're sitting with someone who's suffering, not to rush them through to the other side, but to let them say the things and then discover that you're there in the midst of it. Lord, thank you that this is a short part of our existence and that we have eternity to look at a world that's not fallen, where the accuser's not whispering in our ears. I can't imagine, but thank you, Father, for the eternity that wakes us, where this will, this world of trouble will not be part of it.
Mm.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening in today. How about you? Do you struggle with being good? Was today's episode helpful in any way? We'd love to know.
You can find us at sweetsela.org/podcast, or you can email us at sharon@sweetsela.org. Join our podcast family by donating and becoming a podcast partner by going to sweetsela.org/donations. In any case, we hope you will be back next time for episode 146, Riches, Don't Trust Them. Thanks so much for listening and have a great day.
We are so glad you stopped for a while with us. The Sweet Sela Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Sela Ministries. More information about this podcast can be found at sweetsela.org. Thank you for joining us.